I think the attacks against scientists by individuals, groups, many of them allied with fossil fuel interests and fossil fuel front groups, are aimed at several goals. One of them is to silence climate scientists. If you get attacked every time you publish an article that demonstrates the reality and threat of human-caused climate change, if that causes you to become subject to congressional inquiries and Freedom of Information Act requests, obviously that's very stifling. And I think the intention is to cause scientists to retreat. I also think that the intention of these very public attacks on climate scientists like Tom Carle is meant to send a chilling signal to the entire research community that if you too publish and speak out about the threat of human-caused climate change, we're going to come after you too. Science and the progress of science that we have relied upon as a nation for our prosperity, science relies on the ability of researchers to carry out unfettered investigations into the natural world. And any time you start trying to game that system, it becomes very problematic. I would like to speak to one example from history. This is the example of Trofim Lysenko, was a Russian agronomist, and it became Leninist doctrine to impose his views about heredity, which were crackpot theories, completely at odds with the world scientists. Under Stalin, rather, scientists were being jailed if they disagreed with his theories about agriculture, and Russian agriculture actually suffered. Scientists were jailed, they died in their jail cells, and potentially millions of people suffered from the disastrous agricultural policies that followed from that. So that's what happens when fringe scientific views that might support a particular ideology are allowed to trump actual mainstream science.
Thank you. How do we make sure that political influence does not negatively influence the scientific process?
Say that again, please.
How can we make sure that political influence does not negatively influence the scientific process?
Well, you know, I agree with Roger Pilkey Jr. That we have to discourage investigations that are aimed at discrediting and threatening individual climate scientists about their research. Now, asking for a scientist's source of funding to me is fair game, and I'm always more than happy to provide details about where my funding comes from. I think any scientist should be willing to do that, and Congress has a right to know that information as well. But going after scientists simply because you don't like the implications of their research, not because their science is bad, but because you find the implications of their research inconvenient to the special interests who fund your campaigns, I would hope we could all agree that that is completely inappropriate. It's a threat to science. It's a threat to our prosperity as a nation, which relies on scientific research, unfettered, honest scientific research.
Thank you. Very quickly, Dr. Pilke has accused you and other climate researchers of being bullies toward individuals who don't agree with you. Have you been a target of personal attacks based on your research?
Well, I have. As I've just mentioned, the hockey stick graph became a focus of attacks by congressional Republicans like Congressman Joe Barton, Ken Cuccinelli, the Attorney General of Virginia. Of course, our research ultimately has been validated time and again, and yet the attacks continue because it was an iconic research result. But I would like, and it spoke to the obvious fact that our globe is warming and it's due to human activity. But I would like to speak to this other point you raise about Dr. Pilkey and others accusing climate scientists like myself of being bullies. I do think that's rather rich coming from Roger. He does have a history of bullying other scientists who criticize him and then sort of pointing to himself as the victim. 3 years ago, he wrote a piece for Nate Silver's new 538 website that rejected the connection between climate change and extreme weather. Keep in mind, Roger isn't an actual climate scientist. A number of actual climate scientists, including Kevin Trenberth, who was a distinguished researcher at the National Center for Atmospheric Research, publicly challenged his statements in his article, and was the subject, along with me, of threatening emails from Roger. In fact, Kevin Trenberth's boss received a threatening email that implied potential legal action if he didn't apologize and retract his criticisms. Well, the emails were reviewed by 538, by Nate Silver, and he decided that they were not in keeping with the values of the organization. He terminated Roger's involvement with 538. Roger then presented himself as the victim. And so in this case, clearly Roger was the bully, sending these bullying emails to me and Kevin Trenberth and our bosses, and then trying to paint himself as the victim. And that just doesn't serve the discourse.
Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman from Arizona, Mr. Biggs, is recognized for his questions.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. And I guess I'll go back to you in this ping pong ball discussion, Dr. Christie. It was very interesting. Would you like to respond to Dr. Mann's explanation of your
absolutely. What he said was incorrect. The satellites, balloons, and reanalyses, 10 different measuring systems show the same thing. All include the stratospheric portion, which is very tiny in the tropics. The models included it as well. And so it was an apples-to-apples comparison. What I showed was a legitimate scientific test. And I would just like to say one other thing. Science is not done by polling. It's done by numbers. And I showed numbers that can stand up, under cross-examination. Those are the numbers that are out there. And that we see the climate models do fail when compared against real data.
And Dr. Pilkey, is there any way to determine how much of the funding that we see going to support this, what has been called the consensus of science, or those who question the consensus, or perhaps may be skeptical anyway? Is there any way to track that?
Well, let me say at the outset that the findings related to climate science have been largely consistent since the 1980s. There's a lot of details, but there is fundamental risk. It's not going away, and there are fundamental legitimate disagreements, as you heard here. What has happened in climate science is that this idea of a 97% consensus went from characterizing what the research looked like to characterizing what views were legitimately allowed to be aired. The fact that a scientist as distinguished as John Christie is excoriated in the media by politicians on social media on a daily basis for doing legitimate science tells us something about the pressures to conform to a particular point of view. But let me say, you can fund billions and billions of dollars more climate research, and the findings will be very much the same. There's fundamental risks, the future is uncertain, and we have choices about whether and how we might want to mitigate those risks.
Thank you. I'll yield back.
So, Dr. Mann, where would you proceed if you were to, again, advise this committee?
Well, let me first say, the scientific method, we've heard this term quite a bit. The chairman keeps using this term. I do not think it means what he thinks it means. According to an article that came out a few days ago in the journal Science, Chairman Smith was on record at the Heartland Institute. This is a climate change denying Koch brothers funded outlet that has a climate change denier conference every year. And Chairman Smith spoke at that conference.
Dr. Mann, don't mischaracterize that.
Well, let me finish my.
No, they do not say that they are deniers, and you should not say that they are either.
Well, we can have that discussion. I'd be happy to.
Let me
finish
my statement. Be accurate in your description.
I stand by my statement, but can I finish my point?
I'd like to reclaim my time.
Yes. He indicated at this conference that he, according to Science, and I'm quoting from them, he sees his role on this committee as to a tool to advance his political agenda rather than a forum to examine important issues facing the U.S. research community. As a scientist, I find that deeply disturbing.
Dr. Mann, who said that?
This is according to Science Magazine, one of the most respected outlets when it comes to science.
And who are they quoting?
This is the author, Jeffrey Mervis, who wrote that article. I'd be happy to send to committee the article.
That is not known as an objective writer or magazine.
Well, it's Science Magazine.
I'd like to reclaim my
time. And the gentleman from California reclaims his time.